Psalm 1. Psalm 1, we're going to read all six verses, so you get your chapter of Bible reading in today. Psalm 1, we're going to read all six verses, and we'll read this chapter responsively. I should do better reading this evening, not because I got my new glasses, but I've memorized this chapter, so... folks, getting old is not for the feeble, that's for sure. You got to be tough to get old, amen? Psalm 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. I know those of you that are my parents' age or older are laughing at me right now, but anyway, all right, here we go. Not that my mother's old, but my dad is. All right, here we go. Whew, did I get out of that one? Psalm 1, here we go. Verse number 1, we're going to read this passage responsively. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, it's perfect. It's inerrant. Has not one jot nor tittle that is a mistake. It is exactly as you gave it, just given to us in the English language, preserved and inspired in the King James Bible. God, I pray that you'd help us to preach it right tonight. Lord, I can't do that. I'm a sinner, but you could allow the Holy Spirit to work through me, work in the hearts and the minds and the spirit of those that are here tonight, and you could do a better job than I. So as I step away, may you step in and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't plan to preach long tonight, but I've said that before, and it didn't come out that way because it's not always my plan, but I really believe we'll be out on time or a little before 8 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock, just, I watched a couple of people, all right, we'll be out before 7 o'clock tonight, but success and the word prosper are much the same word. We find in verse number 3 that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, listen, and then we'll get to the Bible here in just a second. Success is really a difficult thing to define. Some say it's a wealth or the accumulation of goods or things, while others say it's position. Some call success popularity or fame. Others would have many other definitions of success. And even in those levels of success I mentioned, depending on who you are, that level of success changes by your own opinion. You see, success is a relative term. Usually, it's a very, may I say this? It's a very selfish term. You see, some of you would say, well, success financially would be being a millionaire. But I know millionaires that aren't satisfied and don't call that success. They want hundreds of millions or tens of millions. I know folks that are extremely wealthy. I've met a billionaire at one time. And there are millionaires that aren't satisfied with their success until they reach tens of millions, hundreds of millions, or billions. And I could go on and on and on and on. Some have been successful, but don't even know that they've been successful because they weren't successful the way they thought they would be successful. You see, some people only define success by what they want, not what their life has been given to them. So success can change as life changes. So success becomes difficult to define. For instance, parents say, I want to be a successful parent. when you reach that 2 or 3 year old stage, you don't know that you're successful. You hit that 4 or 5 year old stage, you might think you're successful, but we'll find out when your children reach about, 20, 25 years old, they start settling out. By that time, you don't even have any say-so in what they do, just so you know. So your life changes, and if your whole life is based on how good a parent I am, there are other areas of your life that will fail. You see, success is more than just one part of your life. I want you to notice something. I think I can say this with all assurance. God is successful. God is successful. Why should I, as a sinner, try to explain success my way? Why not go to the source of all success and find out what God says is success? Do you know that nobody alive in history is as successful as God? Do you know that no one has accomplished greatness, fame, notoriety, or wealth, or any other level of success that God has, except God? Huh. So, why should I, as a sinner, as a less successful person, then try to describe what success is my way? I think I ought to go to God, find out what He says, and adjust my success accordingly. Now, listen to me. What is success? Tonight, I want to show you what God has to say about success. Now, I want you to notice something. Look at Psalm 1, verse 3 again. Look at the very last clause there. It says, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That whatsoever is very much like another verse in Romans chapter 10 that says, "Whosoever will," or "whosoever shall call." Huh. That whosoever and whatsoever, one is in reference to what you do, the other is to who you are, meaning it's everybody and everything. And God said there is a way that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper or be successful. Now, I want you to realize it doesn't say could be. Doesn't say possibly. Doesn't say might be. It says shall. And as I preached last week, in God's eyes, that means it's already done. So as long as we do what is before this, because God gives us a list of things and says, if you do those things, whatsoever you do will prosper. Will prosper. It will be successful. Now, I just want you to notice something. It may not always be successful as you thought it would be, but God said it would prosper. God said it would be successful. So I want you to listen to me carefully tonight. I have 6 statements to give you, and I'm done. Amen? But there are some subpoints with them. Point number 1, God said, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Did you know we are not to go get our advice from the ungodly, unsaved, anti-God world? Our president has no business getting advice from people that hate Jehovah God. Our president has no wisdom when we start getting how to run our country, getting our advice from people that are ungodly. Instead of shunning Mr. Netanyahu, we ought to be shunning the Islamists and the Muslims and the God haters. You see, We're getting our advice, our counsel from the wrong people. By the way, our young people and we ourselves ought not get our advice from Hollywood. Hollywood hates God. I'm going to make a statement here. Hollywood in the last couple of years has run out of ideas. Have you noticed? Because all they do is remake old movies and put sensual sexual plots to them. You know, they've remade Cinderella and Snow White and all these other old cartoon movies. They've turned them into reality stuff and they've perverted them. Can I tell you something? When they start making movies about Noah and they start making movies about, some of the other, Moses and some of the other ones that they've been reenacting on scriptural themes. Can I tell you something? People that hate God are not going to get the Bible right. Now, it might be better than some of the trash they put up, but when you compare a skunk with a possum, neither one's very good, just so you know. One might not stink as bad as the other, but neither's good. And comparing a possum and a skunk, I don't want either. Amen? Why would we go to be entertained by people that don't even believe that book is the word of God? I'm going to make another statement, and I'm probably going to get somebody mad at me. I don't go to these biblical plays. Can I tell you why? They're not fundamental, independent, King James only, Bible believing, and they're going to get it wrong. It's better than other entertainment. Yes, it is. Is it wrong to go? No, but I just don't associate with it. I'm not mad at people that will go. There's places all over the country like that. But my wife will tell you, we don't go to places like that. Not because I'm too cheap. I just don't want to put my name with it. I'm just not going to endorse it. Everybody doing okay? I'm not saying it's wrong for you to go, but I'm not going to be taking our church to some of these places because most of them don't believe the King James Bible, just so you know. And I wouldn't go listen to somebody preach that didn't preach out of the right Bible. Why should I go be entertained by somebody that doesn't believe the right Bible? That's just the way I live. I'm sorry. I believe in being consistent. Wall Street isn't going to give you good advice. Now, they'll give you good financial advice, but I'm here to tell you, if you told them that you were tithing, they'd laugh your head off. They'd be upset with you for investing in something like eternity. Well, I think they're stupid for not. I really do. Set not your affection on things on earth, but things above. And if we don't obey God with our finances, there is a destroyer that will come. Amen? The rock culture is not going to give you good advice. Parents, you better find out what your kids are going to listen to. Well, I looked on their CD. I looked on their favorites list. Yeah, and they know how to manipulate things. You ought to listen. There was a day when you had cassette tapes. I know people in Bible college that used to take preaching tapes, leave the first 5 or 10 minutes as preaching, last 5 or 10 minutes as preaching, and in the middle they copied bad music. It's not real hard to do. We had spot checks with our music in Bible college. Amazing how many Bible college students listen to the wrong music. They figured out they better, you know, fast forward and rewind every so often and hit play just to find out what was there. And it's amazing what they found. Amen. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this: public education hates God. It does. It's anti-God. My dad and mom brought back some books from that were published in 1943 and 1945. They were inserts to encyclopedias. These were the newest updates. Do you realize that if you put that in the public school today, they would tell you that that's racism and it's wrong and it really didn't happen that way in history? They have rewritten history to where real history doesn't even count. Everybody doing okay? These people hate God. Now, I'm not saying every person in public education is godless. God bless Casey. She's teaching in the public school system, and thank God. Amen. I'm not against her, but I'm going to tell you something. She's in a rough situation for God. She knows it. And she's hanging in there. Praise the Lord. I'm not against her. But Common Core is anti-God. It's pro-communism. Pro-socialism. Everybody doing all right? Okay. And I'm going to stop there because I got to hurry up. So, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, stand not in the way of sinners. Did you know as a Christian you're not supposed to associate with people who refuse to change their sinful lifestyle? Now, we're all going to sin. But we're not to associate people that won't give up a sinful lifestyle. You know, if somebody is coming to church and they've never heard that drinking alcohol is wrong, okay. And as I preach and as they grow, they ought to be giving it up. But there are people that have been in church a long time and they drink, they smoke, they chew tobacco, they live immoral, and they're not going to give it up. Can I tell you something? You're not supposed to associate with that mess. Now, if they're growing, you help them. But I don't think that if somebody just comes to church and they've come out of there was a lady at First Baptist. Brother Hiles won her to Christ one day. Her name was Sandy. She was a prostitute. Sandy wasn't going to teach Sunday school. But I tell you this, there wasn't many weeks that Sandy didn't walk somebody down the aisle to get baptized. She went back to all her old customers and told them how to get saved, and she was walking them down the aisle, one and two and three and sometimes 10 or 12 at a time. I mean, she got saved all over. Now, she wasn't going to teach girls Sunday school class, just let you know. And Sandy was a bit rough. But can I tell you something? God was using her, and she was growing. She came out of that. She got a real job. Boy, that's good stuff. Don't associate with people who refuse to change their sinful ways. Because they used, by the way, stand not in the way of sinners. Just because they used to be good doesn't mean they still are. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but that's life. Social networking is dangerous. Because it hooks you up with people you have no control over. Now, by that, you don't have to let them be on your social networking, but some of the people that you are on social networking are networking with people that you would not network, and all of your information is going to those people. By the way, parents, you ought to check your children's Facebook accounts. I'm on go to my grave saying this, but some of you have kids on your doing things on Facebook and saying things that are filthy and vile and are associated with vile, wicked things. Just because somebody used to be good does not mean they still are. Do you know, I looked through a college yearbook the other day, Brother Stoltz. That's depressing. From when I was in Bible college. Brother Brining, I looked through the chapel speakers. Do you know, out of all the chapel speakers, there must have been 30 or 40 of them on there. Do you know there's only two of them on there that are still alive that I would even consider listening to personally now? They all changed. I had men that taught me in Bible college. I heard one of them say there was 22,000 mistakes in the King James 1611 Bible. He used to teach me in Bible college. Everybody doing all right? There are not 22,000 mistakes in that book right there. There's zero. Yeah. Period. End of discussion. Now, I knew the man. Spent many hours under his teaching and preaching. Spent many hours even working with him after I graduated. Everybody doing all right? I know this is not a good word in today's society, but that's retarded. How can you make your living as a preacher and deny that the King James Bible is the Word of God and say there's 22,000 mistakes in it? That's stupidity. All right? Everybody doing all right? So stand not in the way of sinners. Next, sit not in the seat of the scornful. Do you know what a scorner is? A scorner is somebody who questions the rules. A scorner is somebody who tries to bend the rules, to go around the rules constantly. A scorner is someone that looks at what's going on and says, well, I will decide whether or not I will obey that. That's why you ought not be a scornful driver. Did you know that you're supposed to obey the law, whether you want to or not? My daughter and I were coming back the other day from somewhere. I got pulled over by a police officer. I said this Wednesday night. And I said, I don't know why I'm getting pulled over, but I know I wasn't speeding. And he came up to the car. You got a brake light out. I said, whew, I know I wasn't speeding. He said, no, I followed you through three different speed zones, and you follow it better than most police officers do. I do. I follow the speed limit. I said, whew. Then we started talking about which brake light it was, and then I found out it was the one on my truck above my truck window. I didn't even know I had a brake light up there, Brother Gus. I said, man, I didn't know that. He said, most people don't. That's why you're not getting a ticket, not even giving you a warning. Just need to check your license, make sure everything's okay. I said, don't worry. Here you go. Now, wait a minute. I was following the rules. You say, what did you do? I left there, went to the parts store, picked up a light bulb, went home and changed the light bulb. Now, I could have got mad at a police officer for pulling me over. I don't like getting pulled over. But may I say this, he was trying to help everybody's safety by allowing them to be able to see my brake lights when they come on. He did what he was supposed to do. Why should I get upset with him? Everybody doing all right? I didn't say, well, you stupid idiot, why'd you pull me over? I got two others working. Say, why? Because I'm smarter than that, amen? I'm not doing that. People who want to write their own laws, that's like our president. He's a scorner. He wants to go around the laws and write law. He has no authority to write any law. All right? Be careful of those people at work that tell you, oh, you don't have to do that. I know that's what the rule is, but you don't have to do that. We don't do that here. Do the law no matter what. My daughter have faced a situation like that recently. I said, you just do what you're supposed to do. It doesn't matter who says it, including, I said, unless the boss tells you not to, you do what you're supposed to do. Period. And I'm not talking about the little ditzy bosses. I'm talking about the boss. Oh, okay. I said, you just keep doing it. It's okay. People are going to squawk. Let them squawk. You do what you're supposed to do. Everybody doing all right? Number four, delight and meditate on the word of God. So God says, in order to be successful, we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, not stand in the way of sinners, not sit in the seat of the scornful. We're supposed to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord and meditate on it. Can I tell you something? That book will work at your job. That book will work in your home. And that book will work in every relationship in your life, saved or lost. I promise you. I promise you. Somebody recently said to me, well, you're successful. You're not struggling. You have it easy. I said, I have it easy? Well, I said, let me take you back. Well, back then, that was still a lot of money. I told him what my salary was. He said, well, back then, that was a lot of money. I said, that was 3 years ago. Oh, I said, success is hard work. I said, and how you describe success, others would not describe as success. I wanted to laugh. I said, she was sitting there calling me successful. I've got lots of people that think I'm a failure. Success is relative. But God says, delighting yourself and meditating and using the word of God in every aspect of your life is success. Did you know you're supposed to think about the Bible more than you are the sports games? Do you know I think about the Bible more than I didn't even watch the Super Bowl. Number one, I didn't care about either team. I don't like either coach. I didn't really like either team. I watched the last play of the game because I was surfing through and just wanted to find out if it was over. That was the only reason. And I saw the replay of the last play of the game where, well, the last offensive play that Seattle made when they did the interception. Then I watched the next play when Seattle got mad and started a brawl afterwards because they were upset. And I thought, good, I'm glad they're losing. I don't like either team. I didn't care. Did you know my life wasn't changed by not watching the Super Bowl? I know churches that canceled church because of the Super Bowl. God have mercy. There's not a game in the world important enough to cancel church. Amen? All right. Delight yourself in the Word of God. Better move to number 5. This is the point I want you to get. This one and the next one may be the most important. We're pretty good on the first 4. The next 2, this is for you. All right, here we go. I want you to notice verse number 3. After we've gotten through all these things, he said, and he shall be like a tree. What's the next word? Planted. Ooh. Planted by the rivers of water. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, I want you to notice something. He didn't say planted like a potted plant on the porch. He didn't say planted like some flowers that come up and you cut them off and the flowers are gone, then they die and fade away. He said that you plant yourself like a tree. He didn't say that you plant yourself and then when you don't like where you're at, you pick yourself up and move yourself somewhere else, plant again, decide whether you're going to stay there and pick yourself up and keep transplanting yourself till you land somewhere. He said, like a tree planted. And for you to be successful, you need to get in somewhere, lock in, put your roots down, and stay there. Everybody doing all right? I don't care if it's a job. I don't care if it's a marriage. I don't care if it's church. I don't care what area of life. You need to plant yourself, stay in there, and as long as everything not necessarily is going right, but is okay doctrinally, plant yourself. Now, I realize we live in a society that jobs are like changing your clothes. You can do it once a week and you're okay, amen? Now, I know you ladies don't think that's true, but every boy in the world does. He doesn't need to change his clothes more than once a week. Good night. It doesn't stand up by itself. It's all right. But let's face it. Did you know if you plant a tree and wait a year, dig it up, move it somewhere else, put it back down, it may grow. But you do that, it loses its productivity. If you put a tree in the ground, let it go, it's going to take off. I promise you. And you got to leave it there. You got to put it in the right spot and just let her be. I planted trees about 12 years ago in my front yard. I dug up the dogwoods and put in 2 Bradford pear trees. They are now as high as my house. When I planted them, I could see the top of them. They're now as high as my house in 10 or 12 years. They're beautiful trees. I like them. They give my front of my house plenty of shade, and we like them. I like them when they bloom. They stink. My daughter doesn't like the smell of them when they bloom, but I like how they look. And there's not a ton of bad leaves in the winter, and they just blow away with the wind. Amen. Neighbors get to rake them, not me. But it's amazing. And I have not dug those trees up. I didn't say, well, I should have moved this one another foot this way. Say, what'd you do? I just let them be. I'm not digging it up. I couldn't dig it up now if I wanted to. Wait a minute. No wonder people are not productive and successful. They just start moving around. Boom, 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 boom. Now, in the ministry, God has moved me 4 or 5 different times in 25 years. Guess what? You're stuck with me till they stick me in the ground. Amen? I'm not moving. God called me here. I'm staying here. Just so you know. Can I tell you something? I hate to tell you this, God sometimes will move shepherds around on purpose. But the sheep are supposed to stay there and keep reproducing. That's what it's all about. Stay there, plant there. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at anybody that's come here and moved somewhere else. I do not get upset with that. But may I tell you this, prosperity comes when you plant yourself. And if you'll plant yourself, you'll be more stable, more secure. That's true in a job. If you, good night. It used to be people would work 25, 30, 35, 40, 45 years in one job. Now, if they work that many days, they ought to get a promotion. Amen, Brother Mike? If they just show up to work, that would be a promotion. It's sad. You ought to be a perennial, not an annual. You ought to just stay in place and just keep on producing, keep on producing. Did you know that an apple tree doesn't bear fruit for the first 3 years that's usable? Somebody would look at that and say, well, that tree is not very useful. You just hang on. Give it a few years. Let it mature. It'll bear fruit. And I know some apple trees that produce more apples than other apple trees. Now, wait a minute. Who's to decide which one's successful? See, success is so relative. It's so subjective to whoever is looking at it. All right. So plant yourself. And number next. Are you ready? I'm going to throw a little fit here. Look at the last part of this. His leaf also shall not wither. His leaf also shall not wither. That means this. Don't change on truth. Don't change on truth. I'm old fashioned. Thank you. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm not changing the Word of God. I'm not going to change on the truths of the Word of God. If my personality needs changed, I'll change it and fix it. But when it comes to the King James Bible, that's not only what we're going to use, that's what we believe. It's not just because it's the best translation. It is the only translation for English-speaking people. It wasn't just inspired in the original language. The word inspire does not mean a heartfelt passion. It means, the Bible uses the word inspiration with the meaning of life-giving breath. And if the life-giving breath of the Word of God is not there, the Bible is dead. The Bible is Jesus. He is the Word of God. Jesus is dead. And we all go home and we shouldn't come back to church. Everybody doing okay? It literally is the life-giving breath of everything. Guess what? If it's giving life, it's not going to wither. Churches that change on the Bible change their standards, they change their convictions, they change their music, they change the way they dress, they turn into a church that goes after the soul and not the spirit. They become social networks, they become social clubs. They don't become spiritual places. And I don't care how big they grow. Guess what? There's not a church in America that draws as many as the sports teams in a year. Does that mean they're successful spiritually? Boy, I'm having fun. You know, I'm not going to change no matter what happens. I had a man tell me, you just wait till your children grow up. When they become teenagers, you're going to change. I didn't change. My daughter's dress standards are the same as what I believed before she was ever born. My daughter's never worn the wrong kind of clothing. Daddy inspected. Mama inspected. Well, kids are going to do what kids are going to do. Well, if you allow them to, they will. I didn't. Now, if she leaves my home and changes, that's her prerogative. She faces God for it then. But under my roof, uh-uh. Say, well, you're just so old-fashioned. You're right. That's why she doesn't have a cell phone, she doesn't have an email account, and she doesn't have a Facebook account. She can't wait till she graduates. The rule in my house, you don't get a cell phone till you graduate. She's counting the days down. That's okay. I have no problem with that. You say, well, how is she surviving? She's doing quite well. She had somebody saved yesterday. She stood here and sang this morning. Almost said preached. Stood here this morning and sang. She's got a good spirit about her. She's doing quite well. Is she perfect? No, she's my kid. She takes after her mother. Takes after me. Good night. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to change no matter what happens. Listen to this statement. You don't change no matter who else changes. Made a statement a little while ago. People that I used to preach with, people who used to teach and preach at the college where I went to, they have changed. I have not changed. By the way, I don't care who changes, I'm not changing. I really don't. If I would have found out that Jack Hiles changed the wrong direction, I would have left working for him. That quick. Say why? He's not God. That is the word of God. That's what you base it on. Everybody doing all right? Well, I don't see it that way. It doesn't matter how you see it. How does God see it? Let's quit looking at others and decide what success is. When you compare yourself to someone lesser than you, who cares? Why don't you try comparing yourself to that book right there? We all got a long way to go, baby. Long way to go. You know, I don't compare our church to somebody else's church. I got three texts from three different pastors this afternoon. One said, four visitors, one saved. I got one from a pastor that said, two visitors, two joined the church. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? I got another one said, we had several visitors and God bless them. They were in Miami, Florida, and it was 82 degrees, and he was sweating on the bus. I said, shut up. I said, quit bragging. I said, we were wet too, but not from sweat. Wait a minute. I thank God. By the way, I couldn't tell you how many they had in church today anywhere. Say why? We're looking at the fruit of what happened. I don't care what the end number was. We're just looking at what God did. Amen? God giving the increase. Boy, that's exciting. The Bible says that his leaf also shall not wither. Watch this. That means when the winds of opposition come, when the rains come, when the heat comes, when things contrary come, when the seasons change, your leaf does not wither. Period. I could pull sermon outlines of mine from when I was in Bible college and prove to you I'm preaching the same things. My mom and dad have been sitting there listening to me preach for 34 years. Can I tell you something? I have not changed. I watched people that I went to church with as a teenager that changed, but I've not changed. I've watched people who influenced me in high school and in college and thereafter that have changed. I did not change. Not because of me, but because that book did not change. I worked for a man, the first church I worked in. He said, well, Craig, you're just one of those radicals. One of these days, you're going to come to the reality of life. Brother Mike, I worked for him. I knew I was about to lose my job, and I didn't care. I stood up, I took my Bible, I threw it across his desk, and said, you changed. That book did not change. I said, life does not dictate what that book says. That book dictates what life says. And if that's what you and I separate over, let's do it now. I said, because I'm not changing what that book says for you or for anybody else. By the way, I wasn't employed there very much longer. Say, did that hurt you? Yeah, it did, because I had invested my life. But guess what? It didn't matter. I left a church over the fact that they were changing what the Bible said. And they changed what the Bible was saying so they could get more money to pay for their buildings because they weren't doing what God said do. Everybody doing all right? And I know what I'm talking about. Well, you were 24 years old and cocky, weren't you? Yeah, I was 24 years old, but I still believe the same way now as I do then. My wife and I had 3/4 of the converts down the aisle in the water that year. I didn't change. I hate to tell you something. My leaf is not going to wither. When they put this old nasty carcass in a box and plant it in the ground, then you can say it withered. But I'm not changing. Not because I'm so good, I'm so bad that if I do change, I don't know what to change to. Why don't we just do what God said? Then we don't have to worry about changing. What do we believe today? Which one today? What should I say today? Did I offend somebody here? Should I say? I don't worry about that. I worry about being wise in how I say what I say, but I'm just going to go ahead and say this. My critics and my enemies will take whatever I say and twist it to be whatever they want it to be. They've been doing that since the devil's been around, amen? It doesn't matter. If it's in the book, guess what, folks? We're doing it. If it's in the book, we believe it. And we're not going to have to conjure it up. We're not going to have to twist the Bible. Well, Paul says here, and Moses said here, and now we have a theological conflict. No, we don't. God wrote the Bible, not man. Amen. Let's take God at face value. When you take man out of the Bible, guess what? God. Shazam. Amazing how that works. And it always amazes me how people want to throw, well, God just does not say this here. Okay, he didn't say it there, but where did he say it? Amazing how many of those jaybirds think they know more than God. To that college professor that stood recent in the last many years and said there's 22,000 mistakes in that book, he didn't get that from that book. He did not get it from that book, just so you know. At worst, or at best, he threw doubt in a lot of people's minds about that book. I'm not throwing any doubt about that book. That is God's word, period, end of discussion. Amen. Well, are you basing that on the Masoretic text? Are you basing it on the Textus Receptus? Are you basing it on this? Are you Folks, I could go into all the textual stuff you want to go into, but may I say this? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He himself then was quoting scripture and said, it is written. Scripture says, and just so you know, some of those scriptures were written 3,000 years and he didn't have the originals. Did you know that it doesn't matter? I heard some jaybird say, well, God gave it in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. And if it's not in those, then it's not inspired because it's not in the original language that God spoke. Brother Stoltz, come here. I'm going to quote John 3:16 in English. Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you quote the same verse in Spanish.
Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que él, en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna.
Take you longer to say that than me. Did you know that we both just quoted the word of God as God gave it? As God gave it. It was as inspired in the Spanish as it is in the English as it is in the Greek. Everybody doing all right? We're not talking about Shakespeare. We're talking about God. It's the same life-giving words. I want you to notice something. Jesus even said it was inspired when he was quoting it to the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That proves God spoke every one of those words. And to speak, air must pass across your larynx, across your pharynx, across your vocal cords, and out your mouth. And you have to expire, you have to inspire by giving life-giving breath. Breath is given to speak. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to have an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar. And if you'll follow that principle, can I tell you something? You will find success. It doesn't matter if it's in teaching, doesn't matter if it's in the shop, doesn't matter if it's in working with people, doesn't matter if it's selling tires, amen, Brother Mark, doesn't matter if it's working at McDonald's, doesn't matter if whatever your job, whatever you're doing as a homemaker, as a housewife, as a child, as a teenager, as an adult, as a dad, as a church worker, God said, whatsoever you do will prosper. Simple outline. That's God's plan for success. Can I tell you something? It'll help you financially. God's plan financially is there. We just got to be willing to follow what he said. He's the only one successful. Who makes you think you know more than God? Let's quit trying to judge our success. I gave up a long time ago trying to figure out whether I'm successful or not. I don't look around saying, well, I wonder if I'm as successful as I should be. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'll let God take care of the rest. I'm going to give it all I got. And when I get to heaven, we'll find out if I'm successful or not. I don't even know how to measure it. Do you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We judge success the wrong way. Maybe it's a report card. Maybe it's a test or a quiz. Our sports ability, our bank account, whatever it is, we're judging it the wrong way. Let's just go with God's plan for success.